Broadcasting live from our Westlake studios overlooking the great city of Austin and helping you maneuver through this modern dystopia. It's episode number 153 of Shirts and Skins with Chad and Trey. Coming up this hour at 12:45, the crap bag dives further into... No, it doesn't. Got the wrong script pulled up right now. The crap bag has the latest ramblings of the Scottish guy. At 12:30, it's an early edition of Why Today Matters, which expands on the Thanksgiving weekend and why Thanksgiving matters, especially in 2020. And in mere minutes, we pick some weekend football games. I'm Trey Elling, and sitting across from me is a Waxahachie native and level-headed Aggie who may speak your death into existence if he doesn't like you. It's Chad Hastings.
You're damn right. You're damn right. Day before Thanksgiving. Hope you're having a good one. As we get cranked up, since we had a short week and a compacted week, we've crammed a lot into one show, and we'll get you that lineup coming up. Before we jump right in with the picks, let's also get you a couple of quick updated stories. If you have a friend or family member that is a diehard Auburn fan, and they went to church this week and told you they were going to pray for Nick Saban to get COVID-19, well, it worked. He tested positive. They're not thinking this one's a false positive because he does have mild symptoms. Nick Saban will not coach the Iron Bowl this coming Saturday, which means, I guess, it's Sarkisian's game to coach when Bama takes on Auburn. CBS 2:30, no Saban.
Look, even with mild symptoms, Chad, don't you still test the guy again a couple of times considering that he already had one false positive?
Oh, I would.
If I have the resources to test multiple times, especially with somebody who is that big of a deal for the program, I'm probably going, at the very least, women's tennis with the positive versus negative test, best two of three, and maybe...
Maybe even men's?
Maybe men's tennis.
I think the answer would come back. They would do exactly what you're saying if he didn't have symptoms, but because he has symptoms this time, that changes their rules.
I guess it depends on the symptoms also. Like, the fever is supposed to be a symptom in something like 80 to 90% of COVID cases. Like, if you are experiencing symptoms, a fever will be almost without fail one of the symptoms.
Yeah. So, yeah, I heard in the story I read today talked about symptoms and shortness of breath. Those were two things they were really focused on looking for there.
So, shortness of breath is a symptom.
Yes. Those are the two big ones that they're looking for.
So symptoms and shortness of breath.
No. I'm saying the fever and the shortness of breath.
Oh, I see.
Would be two of their big symptoms that they're paying attention to. So hopefully Nick Saban will get better very soon. They will finish the season with Arkansas next week, in case you're wondering. Also, for those of you that love the beautiful game, soccer lost one of its absolute legends today. Diego Maradona dies at the age of 60. Diego had been through a lot in 60 years and a lot over the last few months, including brain surgery back in November. So there's a lot going on with Diego, but now the pain is over, but it's not over for soccer fans. He's one of the best of all time, and folks in Argentina obviously feeling this one today. So rest in peace to Diego Maradona.
You going Maradona?
Maradona. Would you go Maradona?
Maradona.
You go Maradona.
Yeah.
Okay. Diego Maradona.
Yeah.
When I was little, I would say Maradona. So maybe I don't know if I was wrong the whole time.
I think the O pronunciation in Spanish says that it's Maradona. However, regardless, very sad for the people of Argentina, of course, Maradona's family as well. But not surprising that a guy doesn't live past 60, considering everything that he put himself through. It literally says on his Wikipedia page, which I'm assuming that this is 100% fact.
Of course.
It's on Wikipedia, that he had a cocaine habit from the 1980s all the way until 2004.
Yeah.
What?
I don't even think Charlie Sheen can say that.
I think there were Wall Street bakers from the 1980s that are like, damn, Diego, you took it a long time.
I think even Charlie Sheen would go, man, I cut it out after 2000. Yeah. Like, come on.
Diego, find some tiger blood.
All right, and unfortunately, there's one other thing we need to mention before we get into our picks. Raven Steelers has been moved, postponed to Sunday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, just breaking as we get ready to start the show. Baltimore was up to 9 positive tests. I believe it's 5 players and 4 staff members is what I heard last night. NFL was still trying to do their best to find an NBC, you know, primetime moment. So now, Trey, the question is, like, what do you do here? That's the only, I mean, there's 3 games on Thanksgiving. You're not getting one of those other two because we know the other two networks take Dallas and Detroit. So you're just stuck if you're NBC? There's just nothing?
No.
I guess you come on with the highlight show and then say goodbye?
Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, Charlie Brown Christmas, I don't know.
You know what? That may be the answer because I think, is that stuff on Peacock or is that stuff on Apple TV? I can never remember.
I feel like it's on, Brown stuff is on Apple TV because we had to reactivate our Apple TV a couple weeks ago to watch Charlie Brown Halloween.
So maybe you fire up something special that's only on Peacock to get people to go to Peacock. You do like some old Friends Thanksgiving episode or something.
There's the option.
That's what you do.
It'll get you higher ratings, even than the NFL does, showing old episodes of Friends.
So we got all that going on as we get started.
And another piece of breaking news from the world of sports, Chad.
Yes.
ESPN Fantasy Football has wised up and decided to take away tight end eligibility for Taysom Hill. He can only be played as a quarterback for at least this weekend, which is huge because the Tent City Hobos play the team this weekend in my league that has Taysom Hill, and he was about to roll out Lamar Jackson at quarterback and Taysom Hill at tight end. And that would have gotten ugly.
How did we not lead with that?
I'm sorry. I don't know.
I want to apologize to not only the Tent City Hobos. I got it right that time.
Thank you.
And all of you out there, all of you fantasy owners, I'm so sorry that I started with Nick Saban positive test and a death of a soccer legend. I should have started immediately with that Taysom Hill designation.
I forgive you.
I'm so sorry. I'm sorry. I'm trying to make amends here. All right, so we're getting to our picks coming up, but here's our lineup today. Brandon Lang's getting the knee checked out. Can't do 12:30 today.
Of course.
So we're going to do 2:30 with Brandon, which means we'll flip Why Today Matters to 12:30.
That guy has just been chronically injured for like the last 2 months.
This is just post stuff. He's just getting it checked. Hopefully there's no additional injury here.
Hopefully.
Or additional infection. That's what we're hoping to hear about. So that's coming up. Why Today Matters at 12:30. 1 o'clock, our normal conversation with Justin Wells of Inside Texas for a Wednesday. J.D. Lewis has agreed to try to help the Tent City Hobos and other fantasy owners out there. At 1:30, we're going to squeeze him in. And Brian Jones is going to squeeze in at 2 o'clock to talk college football with us. CBS, 2:30. It is the Iron Bowl. We'll ask him about that and ask about Texas and other games. So we've got all of that lined up. But we need to start with picks, Trey. Because normally we do this Thursdays and Fridays, and we obviously don't have those days. So let's start with the straight-up picks. Supreme Lending and the Chris Waters International Realty picks. We're going 2 college and 3 pro games this week. We start with Notre Dame at North Carolina. If Mac's team could have just handled their business twice against garbage ACC teams, we'd be looking at a colossal showdown here. But we're not. He still gets it at home, though. You think Mac and the crew can get it done in Chapel Hill?
It's tempting to pick them in a shootout, but at the same time, I think cooler heads need to prevail here. Notre Dame feels like the right pick, correct? Especially not having to worry about a line.
I agree. Do I trust both of these teams to play a perfect 4 quarters?
No.
No. They're both kind of up and down at times. I think the Notre Dame up and down is not near as crazy as the North Carolina.
That's a good way to put it.
Because when North Carolina goes down, get duck. I mean, they could make Ian Book look like the best version of any quarterback you have thought of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what they did against Florida State and Virginia was just unreal to me, eye-opening. Yeah, we'll go Notre Dame there. All right, I cannot believe that this game feels like it feels the week of the game. LSU, A&M, in College Station, the last time they did it there, it was 7 overtimes of madness. Way back in the summer, you told me that LSU was going to be down. I don't know if you thought they'd be this far down, but you thought they'd be down. And you said back then that you thought this was an absolutely counted as a win game for the Aggies?
I thought they'd be in the bottom of their division, which they are, or near the bottom of their division, which they are.
Right. It's,
you know, there's a lot of jockeying for worst in the SEC West right now, and I still truly believe that this is going to be about as an easy of a game for you guys versus LSU as you may have for the next decade. LSU will be better next year, and it'll probably still be good, but LSU is just so stinking bad right now, Chad.
Yeah, they are not playing well, although they did get a win against Arkansas in a rival game.
Barely.
Barely. It was close. It wasn't like what Iowa State did to K-State at all. I agree. We'll go with A&M on this one.
What's the line in that one, out of curiosity?
Dude, I saw it at 12.5 earlier this week. It's up to 14.
I was about to say, I have A&M winning by probably two touchdowns, a little bit more than that. I would take A&M on the 12.5.
We are not picking that game as a college game here in a second on the line. I'd be sweating bullets to pick the Aggies minus 14.
Okay.
I'd probably take the LSU in those points, but yeah, I mean, A&M should win the game. It's just the time off. If A&M had played and beaten Tennessee and Ole Miss and looked good doing it like they were supposed to and had the rhythm, I'd probably feel different, you know, a little different about it. Although maybe A&M's offense isn't one where you need a ton of rhythm, because they are all about running backs and tight ends and stuff. But also, Kellen Mond's had a great he's been really good in terms of the tempo and his relationship with the receivers. That has to be affected by two full weeks off. So we'll see. But we'll pick A&M there. How about the Cowboys against Washington, where the update on the strength and conditioning coach for the Cowboys, Coach Paul, is that he is in serious condition, critical condition, whatever you want to call it. The family is asking for prayers and everything. I mean, he is on life support as basically right now. That's the emotion they're dealing with getting ready for this game. I'm still leaning Cowboys, though. My eyes tell me they're a better team, and I think they're blocking well enough to keep Andy Dalton safe-ish.
Yeah, I don't feel good about this one, but I think ultimately I do agree with you. The offensive line is in much better position than they were playing that game in D.C. a couple weeks ago. And perhaps we do see an inspired performance out of the Cowboys, since their strength and conditioning coach is in such serious condition right now.
Yeah, just clinging to life. That's a terrible, terrible story. And obviously, you would imagine it's going to affect those players. And we've seen that go both ways in terms of how does the emotion.
Yeah.
Everybody likes to play the they'll be motivated, you know, card sometimes. Right? Sometimes a guy's dad dies and Brett Favre plays like that. But it doesn't always happen that way.
Yeah.
Sometimes in the middle of the game you find out, you know, his grandmother died 2 days ago and the team gets beat 28-0. And it's funny, they never mention that again. Nobody ever comes back and says, I guess nobody really cared about his grandmother. Now, that doesn't happen. We don't know exactly how players, you know, react to those things. So
yeah,
we'll see.
If Chip Kelly's sister was sick as last year in Philadelphia, I don't think we'd see an extra oomph out of the Eagles.
No, that does not happen. Now, this game to me, Trey, is the toughest one to pick of all these games. Tennessee and Indianapolis. I wish I could tell you what the right side of the game was. I wish I could tell you who the better team was. They both got nice wins last week.
Yeah.
They both beat teams we all respect last week. One gets the win over Baltimore. One gets the win over Aaron Rodgers and Green Bay. So, if you're asking me, do I trust Ryan Tannehill or do I trust Phillip Rivers, it's probably Tannehill.
Yeah.
But at home, the way the Colts have been playing at home, I think we got to go that way.
Yeah, and I think one thing I underestimated about the Colts the first time around a couple Thursdays ago is their ability to run the football against a Titans team that's not great at stopping the run. So I think that comes into play once again, on top of the fact that the Colts' run defense is really good, and we've seen Derrick Henry these last few weeks go up against great run defenses and really have to grind out some tough yardage. And although his numbers looked good at the end of the game versus Baltimore this last Sunday, that's because he broke one off for a touchdown in overtime. Give me the Colts in this one. I could see Tennessee winning this game, though. That would not shock me.
Oh, no, wouldn't shock me either. I agree with you. But, yeah, we'll go with the Colts there. The Colts defense is so much fun to watch. When you have a stud at each level of your defense, it changes things. Leonard was already one of the best linebackers in this league.
Playing so well right now, too.
But the way Buckner's playing up front has added so much to them. They're fun to watch. And that is going to be a – I don't think the winner of that game probably doesn't find more than about 20. Maybe you get to 24, but that's a low-scoring game.
Yeah, I could see like a 23-24 final.
Yeah, that's a battle. Now, this one to me is an easy pick. Kansas City at Tampa Bay, not just because It's both sides. It's not just because of the inconsistency of Tampa. It's not just because Kansas City's Kansas City, but I mean, the Chiefs is the pick here, right? This is straight up picks.
Yes.
Okay. All right. That's pretty easy. Kansas City and Tampa. And again, if the Bucs put together a second and third quarter like they did Monday night, Kansas City is going to walk all over them.
Mm-hmm.
But this is no bright lights. I think it's that Tom Brady at his age is sensitive to the bright lights. So maybe daytime kickoff will be good. And it is at home. It is in Tampa. So those are our regular picks. Shout out to Supreme Lending and to John McClellan and Supreme Lending, to Chris Waters and Chris Waters International Realty. I think the Horn Crew is still third place overall. Congrats to Bucky and Aaron because they're the best individual team of this whole thing right now. So we're trying to kind of keep pace with them. Last week, we didn't really talk about our results from last week. We were 4-1 last week, and all we missed was Wisconsin and Northwestern. So if we figured that one out, but nobody took Northwestern. So we did go 4-1. In our regular picks tray where we have reset everything, it's now pizza and beer in the six-pack picks brought to you by Coors Light. Week one, you're dead even. 3-3 in week one.
Okay.
You and I both got OU and laid those points. You also got the Colts because you took them over Green Bay. You also took Tennessee with me and the points against Baltimore. We both got that one. And I got the Seattle pick on Thursday night. So that's how we ended up 3-3.
Yeah, that's right.
From last week. And then we both were wrong on Minnesota. We were both wrong. We should have both. One of us should have trusted the Cowboys, but we didn't. We both
on both the Texas teams, we sucked.
We did. We missed the New England pick as well. So that was what week one was. So we're 3-3 here going into the picks against the line. And we will start with, let's start college. You know what? Let's start with college and Saban. And the Iron Bowl. Auburn and Bama. I am seeing Bama minus 24.5. Who do you want to go first to?
You go first.
This will make me seem like an SEC honk or whatever. Not just because of the Saban story, but I got to give Auburn the respect here. 3 out of 4 years, they've won the game. They are getting better. I like the way they're playing ball. Bama's going to win the game, but I don't think it's going to be 25 or more. I'll take Auburn and all those points.
Yeah, I feel similarly as I did the Indiana-Ohio State game last week. Like, I thought that Ohio State would win the game. Boy, they had a chance to lose it. But I felt like Indiana would be able to keep it a little bit closer than that. I'm going with Auburn, too.
Mm-hmm. All righty. How about Notre Dame at North Carolina? Notre Dame minus 5. You first.
I think we see the Tar Heels get the backdoor cover in the waning moments of this game, scoring a touchdown to keep it within the 5. But Notre Dame does win the game.
Wow. Okay. So you like Carolina and the points then?
Yes.
Carolina and the points. I'm going to take Notre Dame. I'm going to lay the points. North Carolina, you got to prove it to me. I think Notre Dame is going to be a touchdown better. We'll leave Texas till the end. Let's go to Tennessee and Indy. We were just there. Indianapolis, a 3.5-point favorite. And this is me picking this one, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Tennessee will cover that. If I get 3.5, that means a field goal win by Indy. I'm going to go Tennessee.
I'm going Tennessee also. I think Indy wins this game, but it's by a point or two.
Yeah, I think it's close. All right, here are the two we never get right, apparently. Houston, Detroit on Thanksgiving. That's tomorrow. The early kick. Houston minus 3. And this is you first.
Give me the Lions to not only cover but win outright.
Liking the Lions to win outright. I'm not going to trust these Lions as far as I can throw them. I'm going Deshaun Watson. I think the better team is Houston, and I'll say they can win by a touchdown. I'll take Houston.
Deshaun Watson will be missing a couple of his key receivers in this one. Randall Cobb and Kenny Stills. Looks like both those guys are going to be out. Good news for Texans fans is it looks like Kiki Kuti is finally starting to step up. He had the touchdown catch last week. Obviously, Will Fuller will hopefully have a big impact for Houston fans in this game as well.
I did not know that about the receivers. I wish I hadn't written it in pen, but I did.
Can change it.
No, I'm taking Houston. Cowboys and the Washington football team. Cowboys by 3. This is me first, and feels like a trust my Cowboys kind of game. As long as they're going to go with that offensive line set up, I think it's good enough. It's not fantastic, but I think it's good enough. I will go, God help me, Andy Dalton over Alex Smith. Did I just say that in 2020? I'll take the Cowboys minus 3.
I feel that way also. Unlike Chip Kelly's last year in Philadelphia, I think that a coach in a really bad place does help inspire this football team. On top of the fact, Chad, that they really have played much better these last couple of games.
Yeah, they really have.
Especially defensively. So give me the Cowboys to cover the three.
Yeah, I dig the defensive front and the way they've been playing. All right, and we finish with Iowa State and Texas. The Longhorn fan has to pick first. Texas -1.5. Trey, what do you think?
I feel like Texas wins this one by a touchdown. It is senior day, very likely Sam Ellinger's last home game as a Longhorn. And I think that with the Texas having this much time off, they have had an ample opportunity to really prepare for what it is Iowa State is going to do.
You know what, Longhorns and Longhorn fans, sometimes all you need is a dirty, no good, stinking Aggie to not believe in you. I'll take Iowa State +1.5. Show me, Longhorns. My eyeballs tell me that the better team is the visiting team. My eyeballs tell me the better quarterback is the other quarterback. The better tight ends are wearing Iowa State's colors, not yours. The better receivers are theirs. They are better in big situations. They are better in closer games. Prove me wrong, but I'm going to take Iowa State and the 1.5. That means a 1-point Texas win, and I'm still good. I'm going to go.
Yeah, that's true.
I can still sneak in with a 1-point Texas victory. So at least prove me wrong that way, Texas, because then I'll still win this pick.
Iowa State scores a touchdown, down 7 with just 30 seconds left, and they choose to go for 2,
right,
instead of 1 to try and win the game. You still won that one.
That's it.
Either way.
That is it. Now, the question, of course, is going to be if Texas scores late to go up 6, are they going to go for 2 like we've been talking about?
They need
8 or more.
They need to go for 2.
8 or more.
There is no debating this. They need to go for 2.
I have yet to hear the argument against my logic. My logic, I'm not going to say it's undeniable. I'm not going to go Vicky in iRobot here and say I'm totally undeniable, but I've been asking all week for somebody to tell me I'm wrong, and I haven't heard anybody. Not Craig Way, not all the nerds out there, not Chris Bennett. Nobody has come back and said, you know, Chad, what you've missed is the thing. And then I go, oh yeah, you're right, I'm such an idiot. I haven't heard that yet. Texas needs to beat Iowa State by 8 or more to then be able to say they control their own destiny. Tom Herman said in his press conference this week they control their own destiny. My response would be, no you don't. Not specifically you don't. Go ahead and beat them by 3 and then let Oklahoma State lose a game and then you tell me you were controlling your own destiny. Just go ahead and try that out. HornFM.com if you want to check out the nerdy article that we threw up where I put the math in there as I see it. Please tell me I'm wrong. All right, there are our picks. Coming up, it is Why Today Matters. It's November 25th. We're in a Thanksgiving kind of mood. We'll talk some Thanksgiving food and some other stuff. Scottish Guy coming up in the crap bag at 12:45, and Justin Wells of Inside Texas coming up at 1. We're going to pack in some guests, move things around, and get you our last show of the week. Hope you are getting ready for Thanksgiving, and we are glad that you're with us. This is The Horn. Day before Thanksgiving, and basketball is about to crank up. Tell you more about that in a second. Trey, what do you got?
This is King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard, Chad. They have a new song called Intrasport. That's right. It's New Music Friday on a Wednesday because Sam P could produce the first couple of days this week. Starting things off with King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard.
Man, I forgot. I thought I didn't realize there was music other than funk music. I feel like Sam's been producing for a few days. New stuff from, it's one of my favorite band names ever. It's fantastic. I'm a sucker for the so-and-so and the so-and-sos, but when you do something like that, it is, and with all the rhyming, it is just wonderful. So grab yourself some new music. I'm almost through the new Chris Stapleton. In fact, I stopped right before Nashville, Tennessee. The last track, it's called Nashville, Tennessee. I still haven't heard it, but he's got some really good stuff on this new album. I need to listen to new AC/DC. AC/DC went to number 1 on the charts. I'm very excited about that as an AC/DC fan. We mentioned basketball cranking up. Texas women will get started at 1 o'clock. Remember, you can always hear the Texas women over on the Bat, 105.3, or grab the Bat app, the Bat Austin, in your app store. By the way, Trey, your favorite Longhorn, maybe, I don't know about one of your favorites, certainly, Longhorn football football, basketball players of all time. Travis Mays,
yes,
coming in, coaching SMU today.
Oh, is that right?
Against the Texas women. Vic Schaefer's debut as the Longhorns coach. That'll be at 1. And then this afternoon, or this evening, I should say, is the Longhorns debut. Shaka Smart's group will play at 7, and that'll be right here on the Horn. So the triple option guys will be out at 6:30 for that pregame. And we should let you know that Monday, you will definitely not hear us at noon, unless it is the fastest basketball game ever played, but I don't think that's possible with the way the clock works. 10:30 pregame, 11 a.m. tip for Texas in the Maui Invitational, live from Asheville, North Carolina. So we will be on as soon as the game and the postgame is over on Monday. So just keep that in mind. All right, let's switch things around a little bit. Brandon Lang is coming up at 2:30, which means right now we'll tell you why today matters.
Oh, boy, I am not ready for that one, Chad. Uh-oh. Hold on just one sec. Let me find...
Terribly sorry. I confidently did that throw and point and
move it on.
All that stuff.
Up. Add an execute workflow. Go ahead and copy that. Here we go.
Why Today there Matters, brought to you by Sinus and Snoring Specialist. Get sinus and snoring relief with Dr. Daniel Slaughter at Sinus and Snoring Specialist. 512-601-0303 or sinussnoringent.com.
Yes, indeed. Shout out to Sinus and Snoring and all of our great partners in 2020 helping us do what we do. There are a couple of sports things to quickly mention. Today is Leon letting the snow in Thanksgiving.
All right.
Today's Jim Mora and the playoffs. Playoffs? That was today. But it's also coming up on Thanksgiving, Trey. We love to talk food around here. And there's a lot of food that gets its love over the weekend. But let's just start with what 2020 can create. Today is supposedly National Taiwan Day.
Ooh.
So, my question to you and all the people is, if, and this is, even if you have kicked an alcohol habit, and congratulations for that, you get one day's dispensation. You get one day. Today, National Taiwan Day, what do you do? What is it that you drink and drink and drink and drink? And then drink some more.
The answer's easy for me.
Okay.
It is gin and tonic.
All right.
With some tequila shots mixed in.
Ooh, you literally mix it up. You
well,
don't go...
not mixed into the gin and tonic. I'm saying every so often ordering a round of tequila shots.
Wow.
No training wheels.
That's hardcore right there. Like that.
Hey, look. Tying one on.
Any particular tequila? You care about?
The more important thing, obviously you don't want it to be too cheap, the tequila, but the more important thing is that it's silver versus the gold.
I was going to say, I would go with like a silver tequila.
For whatever reason, the gold just has a more adverse effect on me.
Yeah, the two best tequilas I've ever had were both silver. I think one of them was Herradura.
Herradura, yeah.
And the other is,
one.
Is it 1800? Is that the tequila? Those aren't the same
Cuervo
tequila.
Cuervo 1800?
Yeah.
Yeah,
those two. Silver of those two were incredible.
About for you?
Mine would be vodka. Mine would be vodka.
Vodka and whatever?
Vodka and, yeah, just mix it with whatever you want.
Because you used to be a vodka Dr. Pepper guy back in the day, and I admired that about
you.
Oh,
I could do vodka Dr. Pepper. I could do the vodka in a Colorado Bulldog. I could do the vodka orange juice for your screwdriver. We could go pineapple juice. There's all kinds of things you could. I just learned that a Harvey Wallbanger is vodka, what is it, vodka orange juice. A cherry on top, but there's something else. Is it pineapple juice or some? No, it's the liquor. It's Galliano. It's like a vanilla flavor.
That's right.
Oh my God! Basically, a vanilla flavored screwdriver. That's a Harvey Wallbanger. So that's probably what I would do. So you can let us know if you're going to tie one on today on National Taiwan On Day. What would you do? Somebody just said Tito's. Yes, that's my favorite vodka.
Here we go
on planet Earth. So I would definitely make sure Tito's is a part of it. So we've also got Thanksgiving tomorrow. You got the plans, Trey. I have apologized for eavesdropping a bit today, but
sure.
I heard you talking to your wife,
mm-hmm,
and you were talking about plans, and I heard food stuff, and I'm kind of jealous because I don't get to see my side of the family because my parents are freaked out, and we're only going to see my in-laws for literally like less than a day.
Okay,
we're going to go out, grab a little food, and then we're heading back because I got to do pregame and all that stuff.
That's true.
So I'm jealous of you families that are getting together to do stuff. So give me like a signature item, a big dog side, something that you know is going to be there that you're looking forward to.
Ooh, that's a great question. Now, this is a little bit of a cheat because Justine and her mom are cooking Thanksgiving this year. It's going to be the three of us, our two kids, obviously, and then my buddy Mark. And ironically, or maybe not ironically, but fittingly in this crazy year, all of us have had COVID, maybe with the exception of the kids. But we assume that because our kids were around us so much when we were positive that they've gone through this as well and were just asymptomatic. So all six of us have had COVID, so we're having to worry a little bit less about that.
Gotcha.
But one of the things that I'm looking forward to that's not necessarily on the menu of things being cooked, but it will be a part of the meal. First off, I am a huge take everything on your plate and turn it into a sandwich guy.
Nah. Like at the moment or later?
At the moment.
Okay.
So the bread that we're going to be using this year, that I'm going to be using this year, is the King's Hawaiian rolls, the sweet rolls. I love those things.
Oh, those are good.
Justine and her mom have an incredible menu coming our way. Sweet potato casserole.
Oh, that's good.
Mashed potatoes. We've got a big turkey, of course. And I have requested a oatmeal cookie pie.
Ooh.
Which is happening.
Fancy.
Yeah.
I like that. Oatmeal cookie pie.
How about you?
That is awesome. I'm going to be able to do my favorite basics of turkey and dressing. And I've told you there's this dressing in the Houston area that my in-laws are close to that reminds me of my grandmother's. So that's awesome. That's my favorite of all time. Like turkey and dressing is my favorite combo, especially when you get a good turkey, nice juicy turkey, dark meat, usually preferred to the white meat, going to be a little juicier there. Love the legs. I'm all about the leg. Give me a leg of a chicken or turkey. I love that stuff. But then the other side, I've grown very fond of the green bean casserole. It is not good for you at all, but man, it's tasty.
No, you're right about that. Ooh, I am a little bit nervous about this year's green bean casserole, though, because I guess in the North, this is a common Northern thing. They don't make it cheesy. They use like a cream of mushroom soup as the base.
Mm, okay.
Versus a cheesier base, which my mom has made for as long as I can remember. So maybe a step down in terms of the green bean casserole, but I'm sure it'll still be good.
I don't know. Creamier and cheesier sounds like a good move.
Well, less cheesy, but creamier.
Oh, yeah, you're right. The cheesy part does help. All right, it could be dangerous. Could be dangerous. It says, I haven't drank in 20 years, so I'll be drinking HEB Dr. B. I bought a whole bunch of 12-packs to bring with me to Washington. That's Chris Bennett. All right, take your Dr. B with you out there. If you're tying one on today, that could work. Hopefully you are all getting some incredible Thanksgiving food going on, even though we don't have all of the get-togethers that we want. What other food gets love? Cake? National Cake Day is tomorrow.
Okay.
Just straight-up cake. I'm not a huge cake guy.
If I have ice cream, I'm okay with it, but I need something to balance out the dryness of the cake.
I like some cakes. I can deal with those. Bavarian cream pie always sounded a little fancy for me. I'm assuming that's a chocolate idea. So chocolate pie is never going to be something I go crazy for.
No. A matter of fact, somebody was asking me about this yesterday. I was at U.S. Cryotherapy Austin over on 31st and North Lamar, chatting with Chase about things, and he asked what the most overrated Thanksgiving food is for me. The answer is easy. Although a lot of people will say cranberries or cranberry sauce.
That would probably be mine.
Well, who likes cranberry or cranberry sauce? Even though it is served most years, I've never heard somebody say something to the effect of, oh, thank goodness I finally get some cranberry sauce this year. Most overrated thing for me at Thanksgiving, Chad, is the pie.
Is the pie.
Which is the primary dessert.
Yeah, for me, with Thanksgiving, dessert is another helping. That's usually what I would do. Like, I wouldn't care about it. I'd do a little bit of ice cream or something later on, but I would always go back for more stuff. Now, this is one I can get on board with, Trey. Apparently Friday is National Craft Jerky Day. That's what I'm talking about.
Okay.
Give me some good fancy jerky. I like my fancy jerkies. I can do that.
Boy, this almost belongs in Where Are We At Society. We're to a point with our food snobbishness that we have Kraft jerky.
Kraft jerky.
Somebody's going to text in inevitably and say, well, you've never tried the jerky section at Buc-ee's, which is true. I have never been in a Buc-ee's before.
Yes, until you've had the creme brulee jerky, you have not lived.
Jerky.
I've been working on some teriyaki beef jerky. Nice. And that's probably not, that wouldn't be considered very Kraft. Nowadays.
It's Kraft for jerky.
For jerky it is, though. I like a little bit of different flavors. If you want to do some Kraft jerky, you can do that Friday. And Saturday is National French Toast Day. This is not one of my favorite things, Trey. In the pancake waffle French toast discussion, I am 2 out of 3, and I don't hate French toast. It's just not preferable. Like wet, soggy bread doesn't do much for me.
See, that's interesting. I go waffles first, then French toast,
okay,
and pancakes last. Mm. Because once again, it's like the cake thing. It's like pancakes are too dry, even with the syrup on there. I mean, you have to drown the pancakes in syrup for me to enjoy a pancake.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Dude,
and butter. When I eat pancakes, there's at least two additional syrupings. Is that a word? Syrupings? Can I make that a verb?
We'll count it.
There's at least two separate pour sessions once we've begun to make sure we have enough syrup. All right, there you go. Hopefully that made you hungry before Thanksgiving. Why today matters. We're moving it because we've got Brandon Lang coming up at 2:30. Starting at 1, our cavalcade of guests begins. Justin Wells of Inside Texas at 1. J.D. Lewis to help you with fantasy at 1:30. Brian Jones of CBS Sports at 2. Brandon Lang at 2:30 with some game picks. We'll see if we can fit all that in. Up next, it's the crap bag, including the Scottish guy. Don't move. It's the Horn.
It is interesting how AC/DC has that effect on just about everybody.
Yeah, it really is. There's a universality to that band. And the fact that they're back just makes me smile. The new album is Power Up, and I think it did hit number one in the Billboard chart.
Good for them.
That may be the rock chart or whatever it is. I don't know if that's the overall chart, but my wife did tell me they're number one on something. So, yeah, good for them, and I hope they get back out on tour once things get back to normal. New music from the last couple of weeks for you on this Wednesday as we get ready for Thanksgiving. Some great texts coming in on how people would tie one on this National Tie One On Day. Somebody says Wild Turkey 101 on the rocks with a little splash of water. Repeat until I fall asleep in front of football. Somebody else says they would go Budweiser and a shot of Jameson every two beers. That's how they would work.
I like that.
Kind of like you with the shot of tequila.
That's right, as
you're tying it on. All right, let's jump into the crab bag here the day before Texas plays, or excuse me, 2 days before Texas plays.
Chad's crab bag.
Crab bag. If you need an easy way to remember it, just think of a bag of crap.
All right. Even though it's a short week, since Texas has a game coming up, you will get some thoughts and rants and ravings from the Scottish guy. Here we go. Scottish guy before Iowa State.
Thank you, nothingness. Thank you, clarity. Thank you. Thank you, silence. A week of reflection has given way to rest and introspection, not only for a Longhorn team, but the fans. And 2020 has been 10 kinds of f***ed up, and if you don't thank your lucky stars, they might consume you in a storm of fire. So let's all bow our heads and give thanks. Thank you to Kyler Murray for being a gigantic f***. It makes it so much easier to hate you. Antonio Brown, thank you for the same reason. Thanks to Tom Brady for showing us that Father Time can kick your ass and you can fight it with a TB12 shake at the same time. Thanks to Dana White for keeping up the fight and Adam Silver for putting up a bubble. Thanks to the coaches for trying to see the players while the players try to find a purpose. And around these parts, thanks to the seniors. Thanks to Sam and the gang for keeping it together when the rest of us would have just gotten pissed drunk and cried. Thanks to a small number of fans that still wanted to go. And thank you to every player, manager, trainer, SID, and member of the grounds crew that looked a pandemic in the eye and said, off, we play football. And of course, thank you to the football gods, because if the butterfly flaps its wings differently, we could all be Michigan fans, or Texas Tech covers that onside kick. Finally, thank you to Tom Herman, because this may be the last time. Here's hoping there are no regrets. Here's hoping everyone's loose when it all feels so tight. UT62, so you beat K-State. And 3. This is SG, THANKS.
All right, there you go, hornfm.com. You can check out our page, the Shirts and Skins page, for all kinds of stuff. Scottish Guy, Crap Bag Podcast. Remember to check out Trey's podcast, the Books on Pod. We are going to start putting some of those interviews there on our page. We're trying to get some things moved around there. Most recently, the Lou Diamond Phillips interview was incredible. The Matthew McConaughey was great. I actually bought Green Lights, and I'm reading the book. So I'm doing what you're trying to create.
How far into it are you now?
Nah, not far. I'm maybe 20 pages in. 20 pages or so.
Have you gotten into some of the details of the interesting relationship between his mom and dad?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Just had a little something go on in the kitchen that I'm still freaked out about.
Yes.
Yeah, still trying to work my way through that story.
I would have asked about that story, but literally everybody else did. So
right.
I'm like, you can hear it out of interviews or you can read it in the book and be very surprised.
Unbelievable stuff there. So, yeah, you can check out hornfm.com. We will continue to try to make that as good a website as you can for it. But if you love the shows, come back for all the podcasts, interviews, contesting, chances for you to win stuff, all kinds of good stuff at hornfm.com. And as I mentioned, every week I do a crap bag podcast, just kind of whatever's on my brain, extra stuff, things we can't really get to on the show. This week I did get into, and pardon me for this every year, but I do love the Longhorns and Aggies playing each other, and I'm never going to put it down. So I went back into it yesterday since it was the anniversary of the last game, and I threw out my updated idea for how they could get back together. So real quickly, Trey, here's the idea. Now, one, you got to get them to both agree, which it'll never happen.
Okay, so the idea is done right.
Right, the idea is basically done. But if you could get someone like you and me to really be in charge of this and say, all right, well, we're willing to at least throw the idea out.
Because you and I are the guys that even with these other tough non-conference opponents being scheduled, we'd still put the other on.
Absolutely.
Every year.
Like last year, I would have been willing as an A&M fan to say, yes, schedule Clemson, schedule Texas, and then schedule two hunks of garbage if you want to. I don't care, but I want to play Texas every year. So here's my thought. I came up with a way where they might play and they might not play, and you let fate decide.
Huh.
Because the biggest issue I see is that nobody wants to be the one. Nobody wants to be you or me and say, yeah, I want to play.
Mm-hmm.
The proudest Longhorns don't want to say they want it. The proudest Aggies don't want to say they want it. So my idea is every so often, you get like a summer event, you put it on SEC Network, and you put it on Longhorn Network. Make it 30 minutes, make it an hour, whatever you want. And then at the end, you raise a ton of money. You have each fan base, you give them websites and phone numbers, and you raise money, and you go, we're going to raise food, and we're going to give blood, and we're going to buy merch, and we're going to see who wins all that, right? But we're going to give the money to good causes. And then at the end of it, you pick five people. Let's say, for example, you have Ricky Williams and Earl Campbell on the Texas side. You have Von Miller and Johnny Manziel on the A&M side. And then you have a fan that you raffle off, again, for a good cause, raffle off the opportunity. Could be a Texas fan, could be an A&M fan, could be neither. They are the fifth person. And then you give each of them a coin with red on one side and green on the other. Then you come up with a way for them all to flip the coin, but you have no idea how Ricky's coin landed, for example. You don't want to put any responsibility literally on them. Find a way for it to flip in, and then it goes into like a lottery machine or whatever, and the five coins are just bouncing around, blah, 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 blah. And then you figure out a way for the coins to fall on something flat. We all trust that. We all trust the system. And then if you get three reds, you don't play for the next 4 years. If you get three greens or more, you do play for the next 4 years. You let fate decide. And in the four-year period, if you don't play, you're each required to schedule a team that is Power Five and won at least as many games as Texas or Texas A&M, the other team, did. So you're keeping that quality up. Longhorn fans can be happy there because you're not getting rid of your USC, Ohio State, LSU possibility. You're just also bringing in the possibility that for a four-year stretch, which I thought was more fair, two home and homes instead of just one, that for a four-year stretch, you can play the Aggies. So that was my idea of how it could be like third party, let fate decide. That way nobody actually has to be the one to do it.
I'm in.
And you'd watch that, right? Wouldn't you watch it? At least to see the end, how it would go?
I would, yeah, I would check out the end on Twitter. You can check out the highlights at the end on Twitter.
There's all kinds of stuff you could do with.
I'm the wrong person to ask that question to. I'm very selfish in terms of what I'm watching on television.
And I got plenty of response from Twitter and other places, and somebody sent a great message on Twitter. I get that for Longhorn fans, the biggest, even if you're not going to just be petty about it and say, oh, the Aggies left us and we don't want them anymore, whatever. The notion that Texas would be scheduling something that wouldn't allow them to schedule another tough game, like, I get that argument. Because if you're going to play 9 conference games, saying A&M's in every year, and then only allowing yourself 2 others, well, then if you schedule Ohio State or Clemson or whoever it is, well, you're only getting 1 extra game. While teams out in the SEC have 4 extra games sometimes if they schedule it right. So you're going to ultimately have to rearrange your scheduling and respect scheduling in a way college football may never do to ultimately get it back.
Yeah, it's sad. Yeah. You said 2014 is the next time?
2034. Even if they had decided in 2019, yes, we're going to play, the first open possibility based on the logic we have in scheduling is 2034.
Won't feelings have subsided enough by then that we can go ahead and get that game on the schedule for 34-35?
I would think so. And that's why I'm saying, even if you don't absolutely know, why not do something every year where you just flip the coin and say, yeah, let's see if we play or not. You
know? I'm in on that.
So that's my goofy idea and the additional way to handle it. So maybe like a Plinko style, like Price is Right, right? The coin goes down and back and forth and have it go through trails and stuff.
All turning it into Plinko is going to do for you, Chaz, to have more people on board with your idea.
Yes, bring me Plinko. In fact, run the coins through every popular Price is Right game we can think of. Have the Mountaineer carry them up and do stuff. It'll be great. Let Drew Carey host. I don't care.
Do all right. Punch out for some of the coins.
Do that, whatever you need. All right, coming up, let's talk some Texas football as they get ready for Iowa State. Justin Wells of Inside Texas. We haven't talked to him in a while. We'll also ask about the Cowboys. Since we last talked to Justin Wells, Cowboys have started playing some football. We'll see how he feels about it. Or is he one of those fans that wants them to lose? That's coming up on the Horn.